No. There we go.
All right, let's just do that. Let's begin. We'll pray and then we will continue. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this time. Thank you, Lord, for life and health and strength, for the desire to be here, for the good songs you preserved for us, and of course, for your good word too. Please bless this time together, Lord. And anywhere that people are standing up to preach the full counsel of your word, I pray that you'd bless the preachers and hearers too. Lord, we're missing a few folks here this evening, and I pray you put your good hand upon them, wherever it is they might be. And I just pray especially for Pearl at this time, Lord, that she would recover from her fall with no long-lasting effects. Lord, look out for our internet attendees, for the Maboy Road attendees, and Lord, please be one of our number as we take this time to praise you, to worship you, and to study your word. We love you and thank you, and we ask all this, Lord, in the name of your Son, Christ Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
364, standing on the promises. If you're able, we will. We'll do just that. We'll stand as we sing. Standing on the promises. Amen. 364, if you're able, we'll stand as we sing. Seated. Thank you very much. Our next hymn is at the other side of the hymn book, number 43. If you'd like to take and turn, we'll remain seated. Normally this is one of those standing up hymns as well. We're marching to Zion, but seeing as we've just stood, we're standing on the promises, we'll sit for marching to Zion. Hymn number 43. If you are fit, would you come on ahead and read for us, please?
This evening's reading is from Proverbs chapter 31. The word of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him. What my son, and what the son of my womb, and what the son of my vows. Give not thy strength unto women, nor thy ways to that which destroyeth kings. It is not for kings, O Lemuel. It is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes strong drink. Lest they drink and forget the law, and pervert judgment of any of the afflicted. Give strong drink unto him that is ready to perish, and wine unto those that be of heavy hearts. Let him drink and forget his poverty, and remember his misery no more. Open thy mouth for the dumb, the cause of all such as are appointed to destruction. Open thy mouth judge righteously, and plead the cause of the poor and needy? Who can find a virtuous woman where her price is far above rupees? The heart of her husband does safely trust in her, that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax, and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant's ships, she bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household, and a portion to her maidens. She considers the field, and buyeth it. The fruit of her hand, she planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength, and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good, her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor, yea, she reacheth both forth her hand to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, where all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry, her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and sells it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchants. Strength and honour are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her husband, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favour is deceitful, and beauty is vain, but a woman that fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. Amen.
Some good verses there, especially about drinking. That's the one verse that I would quote from time to time, verse 6. Or the only place that it warns people about drinking, because it destroys your ability to make decisions. But it says, give strong drink unto him that is ready to perish. It says, wine unto those that be of heavy hearts, to forget your problems, which has never been a way of solving them. But if you're ready to die, drink to kill the pain. Alcohol is a painkiller, and that's the only place in the Bible where it advocates drinking. Amen. Right, thank you for that, Norman. Just want to take a moment or two, and Steve as well, for his little bit of not just reading, but thinking and sorting out beforehand. Open the floor for any prayer requests. If anybody has any prayer requests that they'd like to make known, now would be the time to do it. I know I have... have you got one? No? Just your zip. Amen. I would ask that you would pray for America. They changed presidents today, and things are probably not going to go very well for America or Britain over the next few years, so please do pray for them. We are commanded to pray for our leaders, regardless of whether or not we agree with their politics or their actions. We just pray that God convict them and or stop them in their tracks, but they need praying for. We need to do what the Bible says, even when we don't feel like doing it. Like I've said many a time, there are times when we feel like twisting thick heads off stupid shoulders and kicking them down the street like match of the day. But the Bible says we're not of that spirit. We need to pray for America, and we need to pray for Britain and all of the countries around the world, but especially Israel, regardless. Israel needs praying for, so don't forget to pray for that. A little bit closer to home. As you know, Pearl Hetherington, who gets mentioned just about every service here, she had a fall just a couple of days ago. She ended up with like a goose egg on her head. She was up on A&E. She has had a few things. She's had a hip replacement and then a hip replacement, a hip refresh. Did she have a transplant at one time? No, that's Dad's acquaintance. But she took sepsis there a couple of years before I did, and that left her in a bit of a poor shape for a long time. She's been isolating for over a year. Would it be about a year now? So please do pray for Pearl. She's a very nice lady, and she was like a mother to Monica whenever she moved over here. Would I be correct in the story that it was Pearl that helped you with the lighting of your first fires? Her husband. So, and with a lot of baking hints and tips. So, we have a long-standing connection with Pearl, and we like to make sure she's looked after okay. So please do pray for Pearl, if you would. Haven't heard any more about that wee girl Gemma, the daughter-in-law, I think, of a colleague of Will's. Last I heard that she only had a few days to live and she was spent them in a hospice. So please do pray for Gemma. Please do pray too for the O'Doherty family. This is a family that has been very close to Stan over the years, sadly, having lost the fourth of six siblings to suicide, drugs and drink. A sister just OD'd just a few days ago. So please do pray for the O'Doherty family. Stan said it was like losing a sister. He was that close to them. One of the sons was like was his best friend, and he couldn't take any more and committed suicide up in the reservoir 15 or 20 years ago. So please do pray for the O'Doherty family and for Brother Stan at this time, if you would. Don't forget my mother-in-law, Pat Hain. She is up for an ablation. No? Oh, they're going to shock treatment first. Excellent, if that works, great. She's up for a heart procedure. How's that? In a couple of weeks' time, so please do pray for her too. I think Shannon, you've heard mention of Shannon. She is the daughter of Sean McCallion, who would look after the cars for us. And I think she ended up back in hospital again. She was only out for a very short while and then ended up back in again. And she's home again. To give you an idea of just what she's gone through, she had a perforated bowel, was it? Never said anything to her mummy because she's used to being in so much pain, and they only found out whenever they got her into hospital and then had to operate on her. So please do pray for wee Shannon. She has, is it spina bifida she had? Born with spina bifida. I don't think she has ever tasted or eaten a meal with her mouth. Never just sat down to just a good mash and beans and spuds or anything like that. She's always had to be tube fed because of the limitations of her stomach and her throat and one thing and another. So please do pray for the McCallion family and their wee girl Shannon. I appreciate your prayers over the past year. I'm sure I have put you all to, or given you all plenty of practice praying for me. I am improving and continue to improve, and I look forward to being in tippy-top condition, or as tippy-top as a 55-year-old, as the doctor said, you're not a young man anymore, can get. So I appreciate that and thank you for them. And just in case I didn't say, it's good to see each one of you here. Don't forget Will and Christine. Sign the wee card there. It's Christine's birthday today, and we're going to drop the cards in on our way home. So don't forget to pray for Christine. I'm not going to mention the lady's age, but she's retired. So please do pray for her if you would. Amen. It's been a difficult year for many of us. We all need our prayers. We all need each other's prayers, and we all need to be there for each other. As well as that, please do pray for Steve. He managed to pick up a good solid night's sleep there, but then he only got a few hours last night, and he's on morphine painkillers, and I think that's really knocking him for a bit of a loop. So please do pray. Pray a lot for Steve and for Pat and his family at this particular time. He has a great desire to see his two daughters and their grandchildren. I think he has another couple of children saved, and his brother, but finds it very difficult to catch up with them or to hammer that point home. So please do pray for that. He has a lot on his plate. Amen. Any other prayer requests? No. All right. Don't forget Esther either. And if you're keeping up with all the people in the CD ministry, that would be Eddie and Anne, just live beside her. Please do pray for them. They get CDs of the services. We'll update the website and Facebook tonight or tomorrow with all of the sermons that we have recorded. And would you believe it'll soon be a full year of sermons on the internet as well. That'll be over 150, something like that. Crazy amount, but there you go. These are the times in which we live. Do pray for the church and the purchasing of the land, and for the church vehicles and the church building, and most importantly, the church building, the people that make up the church, that build the church. Depending on when things quieten down or whatever happens, we would like to get out and get leaflets round to people, but at this very moment in time, they might freak out if they get a wee piece of paper in through the door. Oh, there's germs on it. Germs, I tell you, germs. So all of the houses in Derry have been tracked at least five times, six times just by this church. I know there have been a few other outreaches by a couple of other churches in the town that actually care about the people in the town. So all we can do is pray that the Holy Spirit will convict people about all the leaflets that have gone in through the doors, about the John and Romans that have gone in through the doors, about the Bibles that have gone in through the doors, and the messages that that folks have heard. People need to be convicted. I would like to think that people would see all the things they put their faith in just have failed them and let them down badly, and they really have figured out that they need Jesus. But I think, as we had in a conversation, a lot of people are just waiting for the pubs to open again. So please do pray. Anybody got any private prayer requests? A private Mrs. Bradfield, Norma. Okay. And Lynn. Pat and Steve definitely do. I think Will does as well. Okay. Pat and Steve send their regards. They're thinking about each one of you. Don't forget to reciprocate. No. Right, let's pray, then we'll continue. Christy, would you mind leading us, brother, please?
Promises are sure. Thank you, your word, Lord, and most of all for salvation. Thank you, Lord, for the service thus far, Lord, that we still have the freedom in this land to gather and worship you, Lord, without fear of arrest and persecution. We ask and pray that you'd retain that for us, Lord, that you'd bless each one that's in the service, Lord, that you'd be with the preacher, Lord, as he proclaims your word tonight. Lord, remember each prayer request that was spoken forth. We pray those specifically, Lord, and or in the closing time of their life. Lord, for Gemma, I pray for her salvation at this time. Lord, I pray, Lord, for your Doherty family as well, just freezing them off of the love, Lord, I ask and pray for salvation to come to that house as well. Remember all, Lord, or Lord, I've lost loved ones this year, Lord, the families that we know and interact with, Lord, that you'd comfort them this evening. We pray, Lord, be with the sick and downcast, Lord, help them to provision each private prayer request, we ask. Lord, save all souls. Be with our country's leaders, Lord. Protect Israel at this time as well. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, brother. All right, let's take our big fat hymn books again and turn to, where are you? There you go. 178. 178. Haven't sung this for a while. It's Jesus Loves Even Me. Should be pretty familiar to everybody. 5, I think, on that. Anyway, last song before we open our Bibles. Normally I sing 3 songs, but tonight, 102, I think I'd just like to sing 4. He hideth my soul. Hymn number 102, and if you're able, we'll stand as we sing. He hideth my soul.
Thirsty.
seated. Thank you very much. I'd like for you to join me in John chapter 5 this evening, if you would like to take your Bibles and turn there. I'd like to read 17 verses of this portion of God's Word. Appreciate the singing and the reading already, and the prayers. Keep them coming, even whenever you're not in church. We need them all the time. There's plenty out there to tear people down. We need things to build ourselves up. John chapter 5, beginning at verse number 1. The Word of God says, "After this there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. And in these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, and withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then, first after the troubling of the water, stepped in, was made whole of whatever disease he had. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. And when Jesus saw him lie, and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? And the impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man, when the water is troubled, to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. And Jesus saith unto him, Rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, and took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. The Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, It's the Sabbath day. It's not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. And he answered them, He that made me whole, the same said unto me, Take up thy bed and walk. Then asked they, What man is that which said unto thee, Take up thy bed and walk? And he that was healed wist not who it was, for Jesus had conveyed himself away, a multitude being in that place. Afterward, Jesus findeth him in the temple, and said unto him, Behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus which had made him whole. And therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him, because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. But Jesus answered them, My Father worketh hitherto, and I work. We're stopping there, and we are just going to be thinking on the subject of this evening, just for a little bit, of not what you think. Not what you think. We're going to pray again, and then we'll get going again. Heavenly Father, just thank you, Lord, for your scriptures, for the service for each soul that's here. I pray your good hand upon each one of us. Pray you, Lord, for the words to speak, for the scripture verses that I need. And I pray you, Lord, please, for soft and tender hearts in the congregation, myself included, and for any that might be listening to this at a later date. We know that you love us and want the very best for us, Lord. And I pray that you would take this time to work in each one of our hearts and minds. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for your Son. Thank you, Lord, for the Holy Spirit. Thank you for preserving your word. And thank you for the freedoms that we still have in our country. Please save souls. Please use us to do so, Lord. And Father, we ask this and thank you, Lord, for everything. In the name of your Son, Christ Jesus, Lord. Amen. Amen. Not what you think. Not what you think. I'm sure we've all heard this account before about the impotent man at the pool. It's another one of those many instances where Or should I say, all the instances. I want for you to know that Jesus just never happened to come across someone by accident. Even the song that we sang on Sunday evening, she only touched the hem of his garment. He didn't just accidentally happen to be there for that woman with the issue of blood to touch the hem of his garment and be healed. And he didn't just accidentally happen to be in the country of the Gadarenes whenever the maniacs, the possessed with the legion of devils, came and met him at the tombs. He didn't just accidentally happen to be walking through the town when the widowed woman came along with her son that she was about to bury because he had passed away. He didn't just happen to be in a house whenever an old Pharisee called Nicodemus knocked on his door one evening to ask him about the finer points of salvation. He didn't just happen to be walking by the sheep pool in Bethesda. Bethesda means the house of mercy or grace. Anytime you ever see Beth in the Bible as a place name, it means house. Beth El. El is one is Hebrew for God. So Beth El means the house of God. And here he was with his disciples, just in quotes, walking along, seeing what was happening. And for one lucky man, and I put the term actually in quotes in my notes, there was going to be a troubling of the water in this pool, and they were going to get brought to the water, or they were going to hop into the water at this sheep pool, and then they were going to be healed. Bethesda means it's a place of mercy and grace, for full healing for the person that got into the water. But there was at least one man that couldn't make it. And it doesn't say he was laid there for 38 years. It said he had an infirmity for 38 years. For nearly a 40-year-old man that couldn't work, couldn't look after himself, couldn't earn a living, and all that he could do was live off of the goodwill of other people, the alms for the poor, if you like. But the Word of God records that Jesus looked on him and knew that he'd been there for a long time. A long time. I don't know about you, this past year has been full of long periods of time where we haven't been able to do things. Now multiply that by 38. I know for Christy that would be another 10 years on his age. For young Stephen there, that would be pretty much your whole life that you would remember. Could you imagine not being able to walk or not having any strength in your legs for 38 years? But in that time, even the time that he had been there, so many people had gotten healed, had gotten saved, if you want to put it that way. But he was always too slow. He even said so. I would love to get healed, but every time I'm going down, I'm hobbling down or pulling myself down on my elbows, somebody else hops in there first. And I'm sure he watched a whole procession of people getting healed before him. Every time the waters bubbled or were troubled, they said, someone always hopped in before him. There was someone there with a mate. There was someone there that was quicker on their feet. And I am sure there were people that had gotten healed that came after he had been waiting there. A long time could have been years. You would have thought that someone would have said, look, this guy's been here a long time. How's about we just put him into the water first? That's not the way things like that seem to work. And it shows you that even in the direst of circumstances, even amongst the neediest of people, selfishness and greed still abound there, just like they do everywhere else. However, this particular day was going to be his lucky day. And it wasn't what he was thinking in the words of the title. This man comes up to him with a couple of guys in tow, and he says to him, "Wilt thou be made whole? Do you want to be healed?" And of course, the only thing that this man can think of course I want to be healed, but I don't have anybody to put me into the water. In his narrow-mindedness, the only solution that he could see was for someone to put him into the water. That's all he could see. That's all he could understand. That's the thought that consumed him for a long time. He never even thought about this man, Jesus, being the answer to his problems. Some of the other people maybe slipped a more able-bodied person a few denarii or a few shekels and said, "Next time that water's troubled, you get me in there and I'll slip you some money. I can almost certainly guarantee you, if I just thought of it, standing up here for a few minutes, there was somebody around the sheep pull that would say, 'Look, if you give me some money, I'll put you in the water. Whenever they're troubled, I'm big and I'm muscly and I'm strong, and every day or every week when the water's troubled, I'll lift you and I'll throw you into the water. I'll make sure I'll get you there before anybody else.'" There's bound to be someone making money out of people having their hardship, and it's the same even today. But thankfully, this day for this man, and there's no name mentioned, this day was the day that he met with the Savior. And this day, his outcome was not built upon his education or how much money he had in his pocket. It wasn't built upon his physical prowess, how fit he was. This day, it wasn't built upon his nationality or even the friends that he had. It all boiled down to his desire. His need was to be healed, and his want was to be healed, and his desire was to be healed. And his answer was, "Yes, I will be made whole." And in that moment, the Lord said, "Get up, lift your bed, and get out of this place. It's not doing you any good," and that's what he did. And do you know what? Sometimes that's us. We get so focused upon the one thing, even in churches, but outside of church as well, that we fail to understand that our God's an impossible God. Do you remember the rich young ruler? He had everything the world had to offer, and he said to Jesus, he came to Jesus and he said, "You know what, Lord, how do I get to heaven?" And the Lord said, "Well, follow the commandments." And he said, "I've done that and something's still missing." And the Lord said, "You love money far too much, get rid of it and follow me and you will find the answer to your problems." And the Bible records he went away sorrowing, for he had a lot of money. Actually, a lot of money had him, controlled him. And the Lord said something along the lines, "It's far easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than it is for a rich man to get into heaven." And then the disciples said, what did they say? "Who then can be saved?" And Jesus said, what? "With men it's impossible, but with God all things are possible." We follow an impossible God. The thing about it is, it's us that's always limited by what we think is possible. It's us that's always limited by our experience and even our troubles and our aches and our pains. And the Lord knew that he wanted this more than anything. And whenever he would get this, I am sure, as we all do, did anybody here ever think, "Do you know what, if I won the lottery, what I would do with the lottery? I would build a house, I would do this, I would buy a car, I would buy the fanciest, most tricked out computer. I would buy an island and live on it with a whatever." We have all these plans and these things and thoughts of what we would do if we won the lottery. And I am sure no amount of money can make up for, as this man was thinking, it doesn't matter how much money I have if I don't have my health and my ability to get around. The Lord knew that whenever he was healed, he would be a different man. A new creature, does he not even say that about us? So he healed him. And he told him to get up and get going. Has anyone ever heard of the morality police? You ever heard of the morality police? There was actually a group of police called the morality police. Back at the turn of the 19th century, I think it was, in the very early 1900s, there used to be police that would walk around and make sure you were behaving yourself properly, that you were dressed properly, that you were not drinking or anything like that, no blasphemy or anything like that, and they could arrest you. Not for committing crimes, but for having maybe a skirt that was too short, and all these other things. The morality police came up to the man and said, "You're carrying your bed on a Sabbath, on a Saturday, and you're not supposed to be. Why are you doing it?" The man said, "The man that healed me told me to get up and take up my bed and walk." And that's when the Jewish leaders, they went even more bonkers about looking to kill Jesus. And why is that? Because he showed them up as opposing him and showed them up as being wrong in so many ways. He showed up their helplessness and their unwillingness to help these people get down into the pool. There should have been a score of men getting the worst cases into the water whenever the time come. Although, do you know what? If it had been, they would have had the richest members of their congregation in first, because they were all about the money. I just got to thinking about a few things that people have ideas about, but they're not really what people think. Thinking about it in God's way. And I've got a few down here. There's five or six, so it'll only take a moment to get through each one. But a lot of times in this world, we think about salvation, and we think about coming to church, and we think about singing a few songs, and we think about feeling bad about our sins and coming up to the front. And that you can only be saved in church, and that only in a particular denomination, because there are even churches that teach, if you meet on a Sunday, that you are part of the devil's system. That would be the Seventh-day Adventists that teach that people that meet any other day other than the Sabbath, which is a Saturday, are doing the work of the devil. Now, I am glad that is not the case. And I am glad even in certain Baptist circles, they will say that if you were saved from a Bible other than the King James Bible, that you're not saved either. And I am glad that's not the case. I am glad, I'm sure the Ethiopian eunuch, does anyone remember the Ethiopian eunuch who got saved in a carriage on his way past a pool or a lake? I got saved out of an NIV in a building a bit like this in Glengormley 33 something years ago. I'm still saved. The Ethiopian eunuch got saved in a carriage, and Philip spoke to him about the scriptures. They even baptized him, and he went on rejoicing. Anyone can get saved anywhere if they want to, and if they're prepared to put their faith in Christ alone as their Savior. That's it. That is all that it says. In Romans 10 it says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." That's what the Word of God says. When we go on to growing in Christ is not limited to you coming to a Sunday school service or a church service. It's not about the songs that you hear in church, although it's good to be in church and sing those songs. It's even better when there's a few other voices to help hide your own. Sometimes. We were just singing there and I thought, you know what? I'm glad Monica's singing and Christy's singing and Ling's singing and Norman and Carol and John and Stephen are doing their bit, because I could feel my voice starting to go a wee bit. And it's good to have that support. But you know what? There's a lot of different ways to grow in Christ. I'm glad that little babies don't just grow in the days that the doctor visits them. They do all their growing all day, every day, with whatever they eat, with whatever they read, Christian reads, with whatever they pray about, with the people that they speak to, with the scriptures that they memorize, with the songs that they sing, with the way that they deport themselves, with coming up against opposition. These are the ways Christians grow, not just sitting in the church. That's like gravy. Everything else is the meat and potatoes. A lot of people forget that growing in Christ, just like a little baby, is a 24/7 job, 365, or 52, maybe that should be. Ministries. You ever heard of people having a ministry? Years ago, we had a series of services that just went for a week. And we had people from across the town, some from the Methodist Church, a very, in quotes, evangelical Methodist church, and we found out later that the two ladies involved had an exorcism ministry for Christians. In other words, they were casting devils out of Christians. I want to tell you something, friends. A Christian cannot be possessed by a devil. They can certainly annoy you and they can certainly oppress you, but they can't possess you if you're really saved and trusting in Christ as your Savior. There are a lot of ministries in this world that would leave even God scratching his head. But I want to tell you of a few that aren't ministries. They are just the way Christians should behave. Like a friendship ministry. I have heard of special friendship ministries. In other words, some people are friendlier than others. The Bible says we're all supposed to be friendly. A man that wants friends must show himself friendly, the Word of God says. If you walk around with a face on you like a duck in thunder, people are not going to want what you have. You need to be friendly. Jesus Christ was friendly to you when you were his enemy, and he saved your soul. If you're saved and you're here tonight, we ought to be friendly regardless. And also, I've heard of people having a prayer ministry. Now, I know there are some people that have maybe had a little bit more practice praying, and I'm not talking about praying in church. And I know there are people that maybe is a bit more eloquent praying. I have heard of people quoting verses of scripture, a lot of verses of scripture in their prayers, and that's okay. But everybody has a prayer ministry. And if you're not saying your prayers, and at least, at the very least, including your family and your church family in it, you're letting your end of the prayer ministry go. You're letting people down. You're sinning against God. What did Samuel say? God forbid that I should sin against God and ceasing to pray for you. I botched that up a bit, but that's what it is. All of these things, every opportunity that you have to speak to a lost person, to stand in the corner of a street, to throw a gospel tract in through a door, is your ministry. It's not mine. Even my standing up in the car park, God put that upon my heart, and I decided to obey him, and I have enjoyed it. I get a great thrill from it. We're supposed to do all of these things, friends. What did Paul say? I am become all things to all men, that by all means I might win some. I might get an opportunity to talk to someone about Jesus. Now here's one. And I know we're not all opera singers. I am not even an opera singer. I have a strong voice that quits on me from time to time, and after a cough and a splutter, I can pick it up again. Praising. Praising. Praising isn't just what people think it is. It's not just about being in church and singing. I think 5 hymns, that's what it'll be by the end of the service. It's not about singing 5 hymns and lifting your voice up like a little angel. I used to have a beautiful voice. They used to search me down in primary school, to hunt me down to sing in the school choir. I sang a solo in Craigavon Civic Hall whenever I was 10 or 11. My voice was that good. And I had the heart of a devil. I really did. Praising is about every single thing that you do when you walk out of these doors. It's about how you treat people when you walk out of these doors. It's about how you look when you walk out of these doors. It's about what you spend your money on when you walk out through these doors. It's about the company you keep when you walk out through these doors. It's about the contentions that you have for the souls of men when you walk out through these doors. And all of these things are either bringing glory to God or bringing glory to the world, the flesh, and the devil. And that's how you praise God. We can certainly lift up a song or two to him. And I would pray that you would have some good Christian music in the house, that you can have that rattling around your head, some of those old hymns instead of some of the filth they say passes for music. But it's our whole lives. I think it's in Romans 5 where it says we are to make our bodies a living sacrifice. Some of these things overlap a bit, but people sometimes, when they talk about giving to God, it's not just what you think. A lot of people think a few shekels or a few pence or a few pounds in the plate and they're off the hook. Thank goodness for that. I think I might have to go and get stitches. That felt like a real sacrifice to put money in the plate this evening. Oh, I think I'm going to die. I might need oxygen or I might need a wee sweet to suck. I feel a bit light in the head after putting that money in the plate. Oh God, please bless me for tithing. God is saying, you're supposed to be tithing. That's your bare minimum. There's offerings. Did you ever hear of offerings? The old Presbyterian church I went to, they only had offerings. People never tithed. They only threw in a few quid whenever it was handy. You're expected to do those things. Giving to God is like, as the Lord said, inasmuch as you've done it or haven't done it, to the least of these my brethren, in other words, the people that trust in God, and even lost souls, he said, you have done it to me, or you haven't done it to me. I'm talking about being up on the church roof with a drill, putting bolts in a sheet of metal. I'm talking about being in a man's garden and digging up potatoes or carrots. I'm talking about scratching my head as I build a greenhouse. I'm talking about rolling up your sleeves and getting dirt under your fingernails because a brother or sister in Christ needs a little bit of your time, your tools, or your strong back. That's giving. Or even reaching into your pocket or reaching into your bookshelf and saying, well, I have 2 Bibles. That person that needs a Bible can certainly have that one. That's giving. Or fellowship. Fellowship is not what a lot of people think it is. It's not about grinding your teeth and having to speak to Christians for 10 minutes at the end of the service. If you're grinding your teeth, it's obviously not fellowship. Fellowshipping is what you do outside of church. I guarantee you, even Tom the Devil could shake your hands and be nice to you for 15 minutes if he was in this church. and then get out of church and go screaming down the road calling you all the names of the day, him and all the hordes of hell after him. Fellowshipping is how you treat the brethren when you go home. Oh, thank you, God, that I don't have to see any of those folks again until Sunday morning. I can shower my head. I'm sure we all have days like that. But fellowshipping is, what Christian company do you have outside of church? You get my idea. If you turn up at every church service, you maybe use 6 hours in the week at the moment. There's another 162, and I would hope and pray that you have a bit of Christian fellowship outside of those 6 hours. Even if it's just God, whenever you're talking to him in prayer. And what about the joker at the front of the church? The guy that's just spent the last half an hour flapping his lips. He's not what a lot of people, it's not the way people think. When the guy is ministering in a church or pastoring in a church, I heard a lady say, I know why the Baptists call it pastoring. Why they're called pastors and not ministers. Because they're a lot more hands-on. It must seem great to stand at the front and to rant and rave for half an hour every service, as you, if only it was just half an hour every service. To give off about whatever happens to be bothering you out of the Bible or what's been on TV and how anti-Christian and anti-God it is. Do that for half an hour, shake everybody's hand, thank God that the church is empty, shut the doors and go home or out to the golf club to eat your dinner, whatever it is that they do, until you get the phone call, oh, we need for you to do a christening service. Right, well, you know the score with that, that'll probably be the organist will need 50 quid and the church warden will need 50 quid and the minister will need 100 quid. And then we'll do a christening service for us. That'll be 200 quid. Right. Or we need you to do a wedding because my daughter and her intended would like to get married. Right. Well, I'll do 150 for a wedding. 200 because it's a whole day affair. And the church warden will need 50 for opening the doors. And the organist will need 100 for doing that. Right. Or, sadly, a funeral. And I came away from a funeral recently. And the surviving spouse was handed the bill for 450 quid just to use the church. £450 just for standard church duties. And people don't realize or are not aware that these are the things that the church is supposed to help with. Not rob people blind with. And that's not, we're not talking about the funeral, that's just the church demanding money. The pastor, the minister demanding money. There is an old joke in pastoral circles about the highest paid job in the country is probably that of a pastor when he gets his weekly wage and rent for 2 hours work in the week, or is it 1 hour's work in the week? And then he's looking for more money for doing what he's supposed to be doing. People have the wrong idea about their ministers and let them off with far too much. It's just not what the way people should think. I want to close with this wee thought. When the Lord was talking to that man, he said, rise up. In other words, get on your feet. Take up your bed and move. And he's telling us the same today. Get off your rear end and go and do what I tell you to do. That's what Jesus Christ is telling us. The man in the Bible, goodness, he had a new life because he trusted in Jesus. He trusted Jesus to save him. And then he trusted Jesus whenever he instructed him. Even though he came up against false religion that wanted to shut him down, he did what Jesus said for him to do. 38 years old, that would have been fairly old back in the day. Maybe even coming to the end of a working life, but still young enough to have a wife, to have children, to maybe continue on with whatever wee bit of a trade he had learned or watched or viewed, or maybe even take one up. He was able to do something to satisfy himself in obeying God. And I guarantee you, when you take Christ's advice, he'll do the same for you. So rise. Thank you, Stephen. Take up your bed and walk. Get up off your backside and do what Jesus tells you. Amen. I'm stopping there. Thank you very much for your good time and attention this evening. God bless you. I want to sing a closing hymn. I haven't picked one. I thought I would leave that to the congregation. Is then the first one that someone calls out is the one we'll sing. So if you have one, shout it out. Not all at once. I can't make out all the numbers.
Four, three, six.
400, it's obviously in the big book, 436, if you'd like to take and turn there. Do you know that? The Star Spangled Banner. I don't even know how it sounds, but let's run her up and see. Pardon? Well, that's the...
That's the national anthem.
Do you want to give it a shot, Norman?
No, I haven't said it before tonight.
What?
I know that.
You might be the only one. You know what? Pick another one and I will practice that and we'll leave that open for another day.
What about my...
Mine eyes have seen the glory.
137.
Battle Hymn of the Republic.
I'm going to spend my country
because of that. That'll do. 437. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Let's stand as we sing this much easier song. Christy sent you chicken. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. He is trampling out the vintage where the grapes of wrath are stored. He hath loosed the faithful lightning of his terrible sword. His truth is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. has sounded forth the trumpet that shall never sound retreat. He is sifting out the hearts of men before the judgment seat. Oh, be swift, my soul, to answer him. Be jubilant, my feet. Our God is marching on. Glory, glory, alleluia. Glory, glory, alleluia. Glory, glory, alleluia. Our God is marching on. In the beauty of the lilies, Christ was born across the sea with a glory in his bosom that transfigures you and me. As he died to make men holy, let us die to make men free. Why, God is marching on. Glory, glory, alleluia. Glory, glory, alleluia. Glory. For your good time. God bless you. Have a safe trip home. I think it's supposed to be cold tonight, so just mind yourself and wee bits of back roads. And look forward to seeing you again soon. Hey, Christy, would you dismiss the meeting for us, please?
Lord, we thank you for your goodness and our privilege again of coming to you, Lord, at any time and anywhere. Thank you for salvation, Lord, for the message, for the preachers, Lord, be able as well. Steward our hearts, Lord, help us apply. Give discernment, Lord, help us and guide us in your will, we pray. Remember Gemma, Lord, and her family at this time. Be with Paul and Christine, Lord, with Pat and Steve. Nana as well, Lord, with Frank and Hubbin. Lord, please watch Leonard as well up in Maherville. Lord, remember all those, Lord, that are grieving, that pray a touch of comfort. Be with Shannon, Lord, tonight as well. We thank you for seeing her through. Love you and need you, Lord. Save her all his family and her friends. Please, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, brother. Folks, we're dismissed. God bless you.